The following program is sponsored by LBO Academy.
This is the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. Your hosts are Aaron and Mayumi Mahler, owners of eight companies that run without them, and founders of the LBO Academy. It's your turn to discover how you can own a business that runs without you. Now, here's Aaron and Mayumi.
Good morning, everyone. This is Aaron Mahler with the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. If you can't listen to the entire show today, you can always go to lboradio.com. That's lboradio.com, and you can download this episode and any other previous episode we've done. Today, we have a best-selling author with us, and we'll be discussing how to avoid the three common challenges every small business owner encounters. Our guest today is Mike Raber. He's the co-author of an Amazon number one best-selling book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner, Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Business. He is a business, wealth coach, author, and speaker. Mike has spent his last 35 years working in, starting, building, and managing various businesses. He's passionate about small business owners and designs a business and financial foundation to help them reach financial independence and determine what truly is important to them, empowering them and to live the life and purpose they really want. We also have my co-host, Mayumi Mahler. She's not only my business partner, but also my partner in life. She's an amazing woman, a true hustler. And if I didn't have her by my side, I probably wouldn't be married anymore, but also wouldn't have the success I do. Mayumi, say hi to everyone.
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, we're a team. I in team. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for being on this show this morning.
You're welcome.
So excited. Number one bestseller. Can't wait to talk about that. Can't wait to talk about everything.
I'm getting tangles. This guy is famous.
Yeah. Indeed. This is awesome. Okay. So what we want to talk about, we're going to talk about a couple things, right? A few things this morning. But before we get into the things that we want to talk about, I want to talk about the three most common challenges that you believe that small business owners encounter. What are the top three challenges?
Well, I want to find out a little bit about him. I want to find out about what his background is. You
know, let's get nitty gritty, but okay, let's get into it.
I think we should.
Okay. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your business, and why you decided to write the book.
Okay. And actually, that will lead perfectly into three challenges.
Exactly.
Because through becoming who I am today, I became very intimate with those three challenges as I made them up.
Oh, perfect.
Number one, my name again is Mike Raber. I currently live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Flew out here last night to do this interview.
Nice.
Thanks again for the opportunity. It's funny that we're sitting here next to Chinatown because in many ways that's where I first started my walk here in Seattle.
Oh,
flew into Seattle from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I was living over there for what was supposed to be a 2-week layover.
Mm-hmm.
And 16 years later, sold my business.
Where'd you meet a woman?
In Taiwan, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. So it was a layover, and then you ended up living there?
Here. We were in Taiwan.
Okay.
We were going to fly back to Wisconsin, Seattle for 2 weeks to visit my sister, who was living here at the time. And then we were going to get back on a plane and keep going, but we ended up in Chinatown.
Oh, that's so great.
Fell in love with Chinatown, fell in love with Seattle, and a year later, I took my wife back to see the family, and it was -20, and she said, let's go back to Seattle. Earth is dead here.
Yeah, it gets cold in Wisconsin.
Yes. And then had three children, which have twins that are now 20, and an older daughter who's 23, who her and I wrote a book together as well.
Oh, that's great. What's the book called?
Parenting That Makes Sense, The Secret to Raising Financial Savvy Kids.
Oh,
we need that book for sure.
Honey, download that.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm downloading it today. Well, great. That's awesome.
So tell us about your business background and what kind of experience do you have as a business person out there?
Okay. Business background started from teaching business English and working various businesses in Asia. As a young kid, I was always an entrepreneur. I was one of those kids where if I could find something that I could sell, I'd mark it up and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
From the time I was 10 years old, my first paper route, I marked the papers up. Yes, you can actually mark papers up. The general doesn't like it very much, but it's doable.
Wow.
Granted, it helps if you sell to bars.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's true.
But when you're 10, who cares? I bought a lot of candy. And then that evolved into other businesses, and I ended up managing a real estate office right up on top of Beacon Hill there.
Wow.
Okay. And, which is in Seattle?
Yes, yeah. In Seattle. Mm-hmm. And then when our first daughter, Sabrina, was born, I took one look at her and said, she's not going to daycare. I'm going to spend my days taking care of her because my wife was working full-time in a career she worked really hard to get to, and for her to stay home, be a stay-at-home mom, went to work, and we had a limousine company at the time.
Oh.
Or we had a limousine at the time for the real estate company. So long story short, I retired from the real estate business, took the limousine, started a limousine company, and which was cool because it gave me 10 years of working with CFOs, CEOs, major players in the Seattle business area, which became mentors, coaches, et cetera. And 10 years later, I was able to take the company and then sell it and move our family back to Wisconsin, and took a couple years off to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up, and ended up in the financial world and ended up training various businesses, started another financial firm, et cetera. And here we are.
That's fabulous.
Well, lots of experience for sure.
Oh,
it sounds like it.
All over the place.
So as far as when you're consulting these businesses, who's reaching out to you typically?
Traditionally, smaller businesses. I would say the ideal business that we work with is someone who's between, say, 100 to 500,000 in annual earnings up to a couple million.
So 100 to
500,000
in revenues.
In revenues. Okay.
I'm thinking employees.
Oh, yeah,
that's,
like, that's
a lot of employees.
That's a big company.
No, revenues.
Okay.
All right. So you have this consulting business. You wrote a best-selling book about business. So let's go to the subject
to
of the three
common challenges that small business owners encounter. I mean, they need to know.
Yes, I would say the number one challenge, and actually with the book. It's myself and nine other authors.
Collaboration of you guys.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Working together. So I wrote one of the chapters in the best-selling book. And I wrote two other books myself. Well, one with my daughter and one with myself. And this is the third. And we have another one coming out in about 4 months.
That's awesome.
But going back to the number one challenge, and when I had the limousine company and with real estate, I found that business owners, especially smaller business owners, again, within that $100 to $2, $3 million range, are trying to find ways to bring customers in, trying to find ways to continually to increase their revenue, to increase their client, customer share, et cetera, and do a lot of passive advertising, phone book. I had a limousine company. I had major ads in the phone books, being $5,000 a month at the time.
So you guys, the listeners, phone books are what we used to use before there was the internet. So just letting you guys know.
Yes, I guess nowadays it would be
Facebook.
There's
a book with lots of phone
numbers. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, bottom line is don't throw money into something unless you can guarantee the results.
Yes.
And those cost a lot of money, and it's hard to guarantee something you can't see and can't control. So I then came to the conclusion with, if I'm going to truly generate leads into the business, who is the greatest person to do that? People that already like and believe in my business. So I then went back, I canceled all my yellow page advertisement, canceled all advertisement in general, and went back to my client base and said, I am now going to put 100% of my effort into taking care of you guys.
That's smart.
Great. Yeah, that is.
And it's the cheapest form of advertising, too.
Absolutely.
Right. And the number one asset that I had, because I had a limousine company, was I knew a lot of business owners. So I became similar to a high-end concierge. If my clients need a plumber, a painter, a candlestick maker, they would call me up. So not only did I get to see them and talk to them for delivery needs, but I took care of other needs too, which led to multiple referrals from that. And ultimately, we were able to pick up a lot of large corporate accounts from serving needs that not necessarily were transportation needs, but were needs that they had, solve those needs and also solve the transportation needs.
Right.
And really the answer, going back to your question, was the trick to lead generation is it has to be consistent. It can't be, you can't run an ad or do something once in a while. It has to be every day.
We agree with that.
It has to be systematic. It has to be intentional. And you have to know who you're targeting.
Sure.
And it has to be the right person. Otherwise, you're throwing money at the wind.
Exactly.
So when you say, consistent, you talked about daily or monthly, weekly, what would you recommend in most cases? Because if you do a message daily, you might do it in social media and you can do that inexpensively. It takes your time, all that. But like, if you're just talking about the normal means of advertising, what would you say a good consistent message would look like?
I would say the most important thing is be present. Whether it's
What I'm talking about, how often?
How often, like
how often?
Monthly, quarterly, yearly?
Yeah, what would you recommend, like on a realistic level?
A realistic level, I would say reaching out to your clients, customers, one to two times a month, mm-hmm. which can be done face-to-face, phone-to-phone,
so bi-weekly,
text, email,
every other week.
Mm-hmm. Every other week. I found that with the limousine company, every week, as an example, mm-hmm. I will send out something to my clients through snail mail. Now, this goes back a while, guys.
Right.
Nonetheless, every
snail
month.
Snail mail is the United States Post Office, guys.
Yeah,
yes.
We can't say that.
That's right.
They don't like that.
Oh, yeah. True. Fair enough. But anyway, they knew that every week or every month, the first week, something would show up. Mm-hmm. That created consistency in their mind.
Yep.
I would then follow up with a phone call or an email, and that created the contact. And then I would send a handwritten note, or I would send something to them in response to whatever we talked about. Mm-hmm. So in the course of a month, I would talk to them 2 or 3 times a month. Not a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say one client I might actually have time in front of them or in front of pen and paper, phone, etc. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 mm-hmm. minutes a month mm-hmm. at most. But because I was always in front of them, I remained in the forefront of their mind.
Right.
So
right.
whenever an opportunity for referral came up, I was there.
Right.
The challenge with going less than a month, going back to your question, Aaron, is people are busy. They forget about us.
Yeah. Mm.
And they may love us and think the world and do business with us, but if the opportunity for a referral pops up
right.
and they're not thinking of it, they'll miss the opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it doesn't happen.
No, that's good.
No, that's good. So what's the second most common challenge that small business owners encounter?
Having proper financial and business planning, knowing what your cash flow is,
mm-hmm.
knowing if you are borrowing money to grow your business, that it's smart debt, as in if I borrowed money to buy a limousine, say I had a limousine payment for $1,000 a month, but I made $5,000 off the car, that was smart
right.
borrowing. If I borrowed money to put a decal on the car, which was an expense, and I couldn't immediately draw revenue from that, mm-hmm. that wasn't so much. So making sure that we are watching our cash flow,
mm-hmm.
we know what our plan is. We know what is the why in our business.
Right. No, that's great.
So as far as like when you're talking about, you know, planning, are you recommending to business owners that they run reports in their business on a recurring basis and watch certain numbers on their financial reports? Or you know, I know a lot of business owners, they run their business based off their bank account. Off of what the balance is on their bank account, and they make decisions based off of that. So do you have...
Well, you know what? I know that we want to hear the answer to the question, which we'll come back to it. But today we're talking with Mike Raber. He is the co-author of the Amazon number one selling book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business. He is a business wealth coach, author, and speaker. And we are learning so much about him, about the most common challenges every small business owner encounters and how to avoid those challenges. Follow the Lifestyle Business Owner on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also listen to us anytime, anywhere on LBORadio.com.
More of the Business Owner Show coming up here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL. Log on to LBORadio.com while you listen to the Lifestyle Business Owner Show. Now back to Aaron and Mayumi Muller.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Lifestyle Business Owner Show, where we talk about the street smarts of small business. Today, we're talking with Mike Raber. He is the co-author of the Amazon number one best-selling book called Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business. He is a business wealth coach, author, and speaker, and we're learning about the most common challenges every small business owner encounters and how to avoid them. You can follow us on the Lifestyle Business Owner Facebook and Instagram, and you can also listen to us anytime, anywhere on lboradio.com. The last segment we left off at, we were talking about the second most common challenge that business owners face, and that was financial planning. Aaron, mm-hmm. you were finishing up that question.
Yeah, so basically what I was asking, you know, was a lot of business owners, they run their business based off their bank account. So you talk about, you know, doing proper financial planning. And so my question is, like, when they're planning, are they looking at financial reports, or are they looking at, like, let's say bank statements where they just know what their balance is and then they plan, like, based on how much income or how much money they have in the bank to make a good decision? I see that as a problem for a lot of small business owners, but do you say that that's a good plan for them, or should they be printing out certain reports every month and or quarterly and really looking at certain things on their reports to run their business?
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
A keep it simple would be the easiest answer to that. The challenge most business owners make is they overcomplicate the process.
Okay.
And or they run the process reactionary. I have $500 in my bank account. I have X amount that I have to spend, usually $600-$700 that I have to make in business expenses. I'm either short or I'm right at the limit. What do I do? And now they're acting out of fear. They're acting out of being reactional to whatever's in front of them versus seeing back and saying, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I want to do. This is why. Again, keeping track of the why are we doing what we're doing?
Right.
And is, if I do this decision, using limousine as an example, at one point I had seven limousines in our fleet.
Okay.
I really only needed 3.5. So I was losing money.
So you had to ask, why do I have seven limousines when I don't need them?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And I printed out the reports. I had the reports, and I could justify on paper the expenses because I was growing the company. I was doing this. I was doing that. The problem, though, was the long-term result, the benefit, following what the paper was telling me was a long ways out. Where what I did was I sold off three of the limousines, got a contract with a rental car company where I would rent their vehicles when I had overflow. I started working and was part of a limousine association here in Seattle, so we would refer business back and forth. So I could now book, with three limousines, I could book a 20-car job for Boeing, as an example. And
that you wouldn't get that often, but it would just be every once in a while, but you had the ability to make adjustments when you got extra busy.
Correct. Right. So what it allowed me to do was I would then farm out or bring 17 cars into my fleet for the day, use my three. I'd build a 20-car run out.
Yep.
So it helped my overhead. It helped the business cash flow, business valuation. But at the same time, because it was a very simple decision, but it was easy to make.
But how did you, but how did you, like determine that this was not working having seven? Like, you know, I'm trying to understand, like you looked at your financial reports and it looked like it was fine, but then you said somehow you figured out that you didn't need seven. So what part of your process of planning did you get to that point?
I basically went back to the core financial condition of the company. I knew how much money had coming in on a monthly basis. I knew how much money I had going out in expenses. And that was a one-page report. Now, I had multiple other pages to back that up, but did I need them? No. I need to look at the core numbers. And I guess the easy answer to your question, and why I say keep it simple, is we should know our main expense line, our main revenue line, what we're doing in our business to generate revenue, what it's costing us to do that. We're looking at maybe 5-10 different line items at most, the core things. Everything else is pieces of it, but it's not that important. It's kind of the fluff, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And those I knew on the top of my head any time of the day. I didn't have to look at a report to know those answers. Things that I needed to have the paper for as backup, I did. And usually those were things my accountant or CFO, et cetera, would look at. But they were the auxiliary to the main core of the business.
Okay.
So when I say you're having a sound financial plan and business plan, ideally should be really be four pages. Why are you doing what you're doing? What is it that you do? How do you do it? And when are you going to do it by? Anything more than that is going to be overcomplicated and daunting for a lot of small business owners.
So your whole philosophy sounds like is very, like you said, keeping it simple, not trying to overthink everything that you're doing in business. And you're saying that, you know, making judgments on your business on what you can and cannot do might just be looking at a one-page report and just saying, you know, I got this many expenses and this much sales, and do I really need to have seven vehicles causing this these revenues to be at this level, and can I do it with three? Like, just simple things like that, right? So you're just saying, you know, can I actually make that same amount of income off of three? And you said, no, but I know I can get 90% of that income, and I only have these 10% of really crazy jobs. What's another solution to fulfill those sporadic jobs and not have to actually have all the liability of having all these extra vehicles on my fleet, right? I mean, that's kind of what it came.
All right, great.
So let's get to the third challenge.
Let's get to the third challenge.
The third challenge is systematizing your business. One of my more favorite sayings is the true value, and it's something that will resonate with you too. The true value of our business is what it will produce without us in it.
Sure. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And one of the main learning factors for me, going using limousine again as an example, limousine company, was when I sold the company, moved back to Wisconsin, while I had the company, I would pick up clients. And I would always, if I was going to pick up the client, I would put the phone, or I'd end the conversation saying, okay, Mary, I'll see you Monday. Mm-hmm. Or okay, Mark, I'll see you Wednesday, whatever it was, because I would see them. And I'd say, okay, Mike, see you Wednesday. Well, anyway, I saw the company, for now moved back to Wisconsin. For 6 months, I still answered the phones because I wanted to make sure it was a smooth transition. Mm-hmm. However, and I would still end the conversation, okay, Mary, I'll see you Wednesday. Or okay, Mark, I'll see you Monday, what have you. And they would, okay, Mike, see you Wednesday. And in my mind, I'm thinking I will see them personally. But I'm in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. In their mind, what they were hearing is Wednesday morning, there will be a clean new town car in front of my house with a well-dressed professional chauffeur.
Right.
I was not part of the equation.
Sure.
I facilitated it. But in their mind, as long as the car showed up, they were content. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that I didn't have to be part of the equation, the paradigm, she was like, wow. I don't have to do, I mean, I have to facilitate the process, systematize the process.
Right.
But if the system can truly do its job, I don't have to be in it to do it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So right now we're talking to Mike Raber. He's a co-author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for Small Business. And what he helps people do is get their business in order and organize the systems and all you know, just helping people with the challenges that they have in a small business, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so, you know, our last challenge here, that common challenges that businesses are having, we're talking about systemizing businesses that they're not systemized. So then it gets confusing for how they run their business, and they're not doing it in a way that's going to benefit them financially the most, because they're not systemized enough to run smoothly, right?
Correct.
And so how, when you're talking to business owners, you know, I know you talk about your limo business, but let's talk about some just random person that has a landscape company and it comes to you and says, okay, well, I want to systemize. I don't know how to. I mean, do you have a kind of a step-by-step process of systemizing for this guy?
Yes. The first thing would be figuring out what are the key things he does every day.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to lead generation, what is he doing or his business? What system does he have in place to keep the lead generation consistent so the leads are consistently coming in?
So you start with how they're getting business.
Correct.
Where's
the
business
coming from? And
important. Start with what their role originally, what the owner's role is, identifying what role he plays in the business.
Correct.
Then lead generation, correct?
Mm. Correct.
Okay.
And in today's world, going back to the lead generation component, the system might be a blog that goes out to your clients. It might be
absolutely.
Facebook posts. It might be sending out things to your clients. Whatever vehicle is used to do that, as long as it's consistent and it's something that can be done without you doing it.
Right.
Because if we have to do it and we get busy, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Do you think that people that have ADD have a harder time being systemized?
Oh, yes. In fact, my trained real estate agents, I draw a line on the top of the page and a line on the bottom of the page, and I tell them the purpose of this system is you're still going to go all over the place inside these two lines, but it will keep you in that box.
That's perfect.
So did you design any tools to help people with these types of things?
Yes. Mm-hmm. First, again, goes back to the four-page business plan, which I didn't design, I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps them figure out, again, why they do what they do, what, how, when, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I then had them look at where's their business coming from, what, using your landscaper example. If they have 20 jobs a week, do they have to do all those 20 jobs? What if those 20 jobs can delegate out to other people?
Right.
How many trucks do they have to own versus can they borrow a truck?
Like your limousine service.
Like limousine equipment. So how can they get the maximum impact revenue-wise with the minimal expense? And that kind of goes back to the expense question. Is the goal is if you have $500 in your bank account, don't spend six. That's a bad number. Spend three.
That's true.
And figure out.
No, sure. That is so true.
So are people able to get your advice from, you know, you live in Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so across the nation, are people able to contact you and get consulting from you from afar?
Yes.
Great. Do you do a Skype or?
Yeah, how do you do that?
A couple of different versions. Mm-hmm. One, I'm building an online platform that will have ongoing resources, tools that they can utilize, training programs, et cetera, that is just logging on through their computer.
Mm-hmm.
I also can do Skype webinars, can do one-on-one training calls.
That's great.
The books. And I'm a firm believer that I know what my strengths are, and I surround myself with other people whose strengths are my weaknesses.
Right.
So if a person I'm working with or a person that has a need and I don't have the expertise, then I refer them out to someone who can.
Well, you know what? Thank you, Mike, so much for being on the show this morning. If you'd like to get a hold of Mike, I'm going to give you some information. So you're going to go to www.mysensiblesolutions.com. That's my, MYCENTSIBLE solutions.com. Here at the Lifestyle Business Owner Academy, we're not rendering financial or legal advice. We're not telling what you should or shouldn't do with your money. We're simply telling you what we are doing personally. When we come back, we are going to start our LBO segment. This is where we have the opportunity to learn about how to buy a business, grow your profits, and make it run without you. Make sure you follow us on The Lifestyle Business Owner on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also listen to The Lifestyle Business Owner Show anytime, anywhere on lboradio.com. Thank you, Mike, for being on the show this morning. And mysensiblesolutions.com is where you can go and reach out to him.
You're welcome. And the My Sensible Solutions is bringing sensible solutions everyday life.
Time for a quick break, but we'll have more of the Lifestyle Business Owner Show right after this, here on Business Radio 1300 KKOL.